My name is Sarah Jensen, and I'm a fourth-year grad student at Cornell University. I work in Dr. Ed Buckler's lab, and I'm pursuing a PhD in plant breeding and genetics. So the poster I'm presenting here is trying to understand how proteins adapt to high temperatures. And the goal here is really to be able to build models to select for protein efficiency, even at elevated temperatures, and to really be trying to understand the biochemistry behind these so that we can build models that transfer not just across species, but even across phylogenetic groups. Now, there are some problems with trying to build these models, and I guess probably the biggest one is that when we're thinking about an organism as a whole, we don't really understand which amino acid residues within a protein matter and which ones are going to affect thermostability. And so that really gets at the research goals of this project, which are one, to be identifying these temperature sites, and then two, as I said, understand the biochemistry behind them. Now I'm working in prokaryotes for this because they make a really good system for studying molecular adaptation. And there are a number of reasons for this, but the two primary reasons are that prokaryotes have adapted to a really wide range of temperatures, so they actually can grow at 0 degrees Celsius and then all the way through and even above 100 degrees Celsius. And prokaryotes also tend to have fairly rapid generation times and large effective population sizes. And those two things mean that selection can act quite efficiently and really work to optimize the function of each protein within a prokaryote genome. So that's why I'm working with prokaryotes, at least to start and to build these models. And I have two main hypotheses that I'm presenting here. So I'll address the first one, which is that thermal adaptation is highly polygenic. And so you can see that in the poster at the box, the large box on the bottom of the poster. And the way I'm addressing this particular hypothesis is through genome-wide association studies, or GWAS. So essentially, I use protein domains from the PFAM database, and I find those protein domains for every prokaryote species that I can get a proteome for. So in this case, I'm working with about 4,800 species from ensemble bacteria. Once I identify protein domains, I align all of those protein domains, and then I recode them numerically so that I can run linear regression. And then I'm running just a standard GWAS on these protein domains. And what I find is that there are a lot of sites that show up as being significantly associated with temperature. So if you look within that thermal adaptation box and you look at the leftmost plot, I'm showing you a Manhattan plot there. And just like any Manhattan plot, the position within the protein domain is on the x-axis, and the y-axis is our measure of significance. So in that plot, anything above the dotted red line is a position within a protein that has shown up as significant. And this is just an example of one particular protein domain. It's actually alpha amylase. So what you see when you look at this plot is that there are a lot of sites that come up as significant, and this tends to be true across all of the protein domains I look at. But what I think is really interesting about this is we can actually understand the biochemistry of these sites. So if, for example, I take one of the sites in this box, I can start to look at the biochemistry of the amino acids at that site and try and see what's going on. So if we move to the middle plot in this box, we can see that actually each of these individual sites can be associated with specific chemical properties. So this is just, again, one example, but we see that in general, species with high optimal temperatures tend to have, at this particular site, amino acids with low hydrophilicity, which is what's being shown with that red bracket there. And the opposite is also true. We see that species with moderate optimal temperatures tend to be having moderate to high hydrophilicities at this particular site. And that matches what we'd expect in the literature. We know that proteins that function at very high temperatures tend to have lower hydrophilicity. And so it's really interesting that we can actually pull out this biochemistry and make some sense of it. Now, when we're looking across every protein domain in PFAM across 4,000 different species, we end up finding a lot of residues that really matter. And so you can see the rightmost histogram in this bottom box here is showing how many sites within a particular protein domain are showing up as significantly associated with temperature. And on average, it ends up being that about a quarter of the residues matter. So that's a lot of things to wade through. And so that brings me to my second hypothesis, which is the box on the right of this poster, which is that there will be a number of sites that are associated with temperature in bacteria and also associated with temperature in archaea, and that these sites are particularly interesting to us because they may also suggest sites that are important for eukaryotes and extending these models even further. So what I'm showing you in this box here is just two example protein domains, 4 and 118. And I'm showing you the list of significant sites or sites that have been significantly associated with temperature. The larger blue circle are the sites associated with temperature in bacteria, and the smaller red circle are sites associated with archaea. And that pinkish circle, purplish circle, is the number of sites that are overlapping between archaea and bacteria. And so what you can see is that by taking just the intersection of significant sites, we can reduce our search space a little bit and focus on residues that are likely to be transferable to other organisms. So these are really good candidates for further study. And this is where I'm going next, is I'm trying to further prioritize these and figure out which of these residues are the most important and are there generalizable biochemical mechanisms that we can understand from these residues. So I will be presenting this poster live at the virtual poster session on Wednesday, April 29th, starting at 1:30 p.m. And if you have any more questions about it, I'd love to talk to you there.